Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta features 426 guest rooms, 16,000 square feet of meeting and event space, several dining options, including art bar, a gastro pub serving locally inspired fare and cocktails, along with an indoor-outdoor swimming pool and patio, 11 landscaped acres of walking trails, and a convenient location to all the attractions located north of Atlanta. Visit www.sonesta.com/Gwinnett Place to learn more about what we have to offer for your next getaway, meeting, or event. Tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business? Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. We handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. We handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. Locally owned and operated with over 30 years of payroll experience. We don't just process payrolls, we build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031. Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Faratech. Faratech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio in the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I'm Mike Salmon, and back in the saddle again alongside Stephen Julian.
Hey, Mike.
Stephen.
How you doing?
Good.
The beautiful Sonesta Hotel was in rare view today because the weather's beautiful, and you and I were both stuck in traffic, as were, I think, our guests trying to get here. So we got to see it for a while from the outside as we were trying to get through the lights and get here.
We did. And then when you walk in the doors, it's a great place.
I'm
and we are glad to call this our home. Almost 2 years now we've been here at this location. We've got a great show on tap. We've got some special guests. We've got Carl Schussler here. He's with Mitigate Partners and Benefit Strategies. And also Susan Boland Butts and Keith Fenton with High Hope Service Center. They're here not only to talk about the center, but they've got a great event coming up that we want to share as well. But before we get to our interview with Carl, it's a small world. Carl, you're walking in and Keith is walking in and you guys have a connection from many years ago.
Yeah, I think it's been 20 years since we've seen each other.
Yeah, I started my career at Northwestern Mutual back in 89. And his mother, Nancy, hey, Nancy, was like my mom away from home. So I hadn't seen Nancy in probably about 20 years, too.
Great. It's a cool story. It's a small world.
It's a small world. Well, are you going to sing the chorus?
No.
Because we don't want people leaving the show.
No.
We want them to keep listening.
We want Nancy and everybody else to keep listening to the show. Carl Schussler is with Mitigate Partners and Benefit Strategies. Carl, welcome to the program. Tell us about your companies and what you do.
Okay. Appreciate y'all having me on. We do work in what the simplest way to call is employee benefits consulting. We work with employers in what I would also call risk management, cost containment, and insurance. And we help guide them and navigate the waters, as y'all probably are very familiar with health insurance and how costly it is. We help them put together programs, hopefully with better outcomes for their employees and at a reduced cost for them.
All right. I'm going to ask you a question that Stephen and I want to know, and I think everybody else wants to know. Why is health insurance so daggum darn expensive?
That's my word. Daggum's my word, Mike. You took that from me. The reason it's expensive, first off, is I often say health insurance is expensive because healthcare is expensive. It's that simple. And the only way you can bring the cost of health insurance down is to bring the cost of care down. And the thing about the Affordable Care Act, where it did many good things, the one thing it didn't address was the cost of care. You can't have a fractured radius for $198,000 and expect the insurance cost to be low when we know it cost the hospital $4,200 for a fractured radius. So those are the types of things that you have to address. But the cost of care is the root of the problem. And my wife had a $29,984 laparoscopic appendectomy. It's just crazy.
Carl, you mentioned at the first answer that you do employee benefits consulting and kind of obviously around the topic of healthcare, I think health insurance. I think a lot of people would hear that and go, oh, you're just an insurance guy. You're just a broker. But it's more than that. The consulting is kind of what you really focus on. So talk about, get into the nitty gritty and talk about what you exactly do with companies to help them save in costs and put together a good plan.
Steve, I'm going to address a couple of things. There's three titles I think people that do what we do are called by: broker, consultant, and advisor. And there's a very big difference between those three. A broker, which is 99% of the industry that works with employers, basically slog insurance around. They bring in an employer and an insurance company together and they get a commission. And you might see them once a year if you're lucky when your plan renews. Okay, that's a broker. That ain't this cowboy. Then you've got a consultant who charges an hourly fee for their work. And then you've got an advisor. An advisor is different. An advisor is going to push their clients knowingly or unknowingly to the edge of any cutting edge solution, things that can reduce the cost for their employees and improve employee outcomes. So we're going to push until the employer tells us to stop on all these great ideas. And an advisor leads. They don't take cues from the employer. Most employers, when they work with a broker, are pushing a rope. And it doesn't work well.
Right. So what are some of the things you've been able to advise? Are there some good examples that where you've been able to go into an employer situation and really kind of walk out after however much time and go, here's how I was really able to help them?
The biggest thing that we've done is we spent really 6 years in deep research trying to figure out why healthcare cost, Mike stole my term, so daggum much. That's what we did. And in doing that travel, we literally went all into the earth, looked at all what we call cost containment and risk mitigation solutions with the number one driving goal and purpose was how can we be the best fiduciary and steward of our clients' money like it's ours? And we do take that pretty dead gum serious. So we did that. And in doing that, we had an innovative forum, a think tank, on January 23rd of 2017 in Macon, Georgia, brought people from Oregon, Washington, D.C., Massachusetts, Florida, et cetera. Macon's my hometown. I don't know why we had it there other than people hate traveling in Atlanta. It was easier to actually go south than to go north in the city. And so we hosted it. And what really came from it, there were 30 brilliant minds around the table, with the exception of me. I was bringing the IQ down substantially. But we sat and figured out what came of it was you need a platform, you need a plan. So we created what's called the Fair Cost Health Plan that has got all of these different solutions in it that bring the cost of care down and, again, improve employee outcomes. And I want to be clear, one of the biggest issues is people, the healthcare we have today, like at Business Radio, is insurance company built healthcare. You're buying insurance from an insurance company. If you're self-insured and you're a big employer, say IBM, and you're buying, you know, Blue Cross as your plan administrator, that's still insurance company built healthcare. We do employer built healthcare. So we do what's best for the employer and we design it from the ground up. And we're getting, the average medical expense per employee per year in this country is $12,125. Our program, Fair Cost, is running around $4,400 per employee per year. And the average prescription drug expense per member per month is $88, and we're in the mid-40s, mid-50s. So you're talking about a substantial amount of money. And again, what does that do for people? These employees, folks, most of America don't make large incomes, and this gives them an opportunity, finally, to save for retirement. They've got money left over. We got groups for 2 years that haven't had one rate increase at all and actually reduced the rates for that company's employees. That never happens.
We're talking with Carl Schuessler. He's with Mitigate Partners and Benefit Strategies here on Gwinnett Business Radio. And the healthcare industry is changing almost daily, it seems, Carl. And you've talked about employer healthcare. How are the purchasing decisions changing, or how have they changed over the last 10 years? What have you seen?
Mike, I don't think they've changed enough. There's still people out there. Steve calls me up and he's got a company of 20 employees, and we go out and we do what I call the broker dance, and we go out and we spreadsheet all the insurance companies, and we come back and you play any, mini, money, mo, which one do you want? That's still being done in a major way today. Real critical thing that needs to happen is you have to disintermediate the system. And what I mean by that, I've got to be careful. I've been told, oh, that doesn't make sense, Carl, when you say it on a radio show, but you've got to disintermediate and get rid of these parties. You don't have to have an insurance company. If you're big enough, you don't have to have an insurance company. And again, when you use Blue Cross or Aetna or United, we call them the BUCAs, Blue Cross, United, Cigna, Aetna, Humana. If you use them, you have to get what they offer. You buy what they have. Well, what they have, don't forget, who's their number one fiduciary responsibility to? Stockholder. They're not incented to bring your costs down. It won't work well for the stock price. And if you check the stock prices of all these insurance companies, they're up 8 times since May of 2009. 8 times. You can design, get away from the insurance companies, build a self-funded insurance program where you build it from the ground up and you pick the components you want to use. And that's what we identified in that 6-year journey.
Now, you said that Mike took the term dadgum from you. By the way, you've used it, I think, 3 or 4 times. So I think you've taken it back, but you can really lay claim to disintermediate. I love that. I'm taking that. That's good. I feel a hashtag disintermediate coming out. So, but let me ask this question. There's a lot of small business owners who are listening to this, who their ears are perking up because they've either given up and said, just everybody figured out on themselves on the system or whatever, or they've seen their prices go up, the eeny, meeny, miny, mo prices. Is there a company that's too small? Where's your sweet spot? What are some of the best types of businesses or size of businesses that you guys have found? These are the ones we can really help.
All right. I want to address that question 2 parts. The people that have really been killed are the companies like Business Radio. The companies with under 50 employees are stuck. There are some options that can be addressed, but for the most part, you're stuck in these, what we call the ACA community rate pool. And whatever that rate pool does, which by the way, is mostly becomes more and more unhealthy companies because the healthy companies have gotten out of that, you're a victim. There's nothing much you can do. So our focus is predominantly on companies that are at a minimum north of 100 employees up to maybe 5,000 employees, ones that we can actually really build a health plan. We could build a health plan for Business Radio, but it would be risky with the amount of people you have in the company to go do that. So it probably wouldn't work unless I'm sure Mike's got very deep pockets. He could front the whole thing and, you know, y'all could run with that. But
deep but empty.
Yeah. Well said.
That's one thing you and I share. So. Yes.
Well, and Carl, as we get close to wrapping up your interview, and we could talk for a long time about all of these. We'll have to have you back at some point. I want to take a little bit of a detour and ask you more of a personal question about your passion for this industry and so forth. Where did that come from?
We watched for years. I was a member of what I call the cartel for years, and I would meet with Keith and Susan, and we would go over their programs, and every year their premiums were going up. Who made more money each year? We got paid a percent of premiums. So we made more money every time. And I would apologize to Keith and Susan, but hey, it is what it is. And I got tired of it. So I literally went on a quest for 6 years and tried to figure out again why it costs so much. We diagnosed it's the cost of care. And I was watching people not be able to save any money. I watched the middle class erosion. If you really look at why we're in this depression we had for middle class people, employers are paying more money in salaries than they've ever paid. They're paying more in benefits than they've ever paid. But you don't see it because your increases in your salary were eaten up where they passed on the increases in health insurance. So it wasn't working. And when you look around, there's a better way. And the other thing, the whole system is unaccountable. I mean, if I want to buy a car, I could spend 3 months researching a car. If I want to go to the right doctor to have a laparoscopic hysterectomy, well, I probably wouldn't be doing that. That'd be my wife. But if I want to go to the doctor, that's a bad choice, wasn't it? I need to go to the doctor to have a hip replacement. You can't find out anything about Dr. Steve. You can't find us one thing about him. So the one thing I would leave it with or wrap it up with, there's a couple of easy fixes in my opinion, but the biggest, probably the best quote I could give you, healthcare is not broken. It was made this way. on purpose. It's the greatest heist in American history. When we can get to that. Obviously, now we have time. I was planning on being here for 3 hours. I'm very disappointed. But anyway, and so it's real simple. I was on a hospital summit panel back in November with a bunch of local and regional hospitals. And they asked, the moderator asked, Carl, what do you think you could do to really make things better? Any simple solutions? And God, by the way, this is a very complicated issue. But I will tell you two things that would make it easier or improve it. If I could go in a hospital and find out what something cost up front, you know, I mean, Mike, it's like this. I've got a car for you and I want you to take it. Well, how much is it, Carl? I'm not going to just take it. We fight for 10 minutes. You drive off and you get a bill for $100,000 and you call me up. Carl, what is this? Well, that's the cost of the car, Mike. Well, Carl, if you told me that, I wouldn't have taken it, but you did. That's a problem. So if you, everything in America, we can get a price on, but we can't get it on a procedure. And then they ask, who's your insurance with? When you go to Best Buy, they ask you, Steve, who's your credit card with? Who's your bank account with? No, they take your money. But this is a problem everywhere we go. So I want to know what the cost is. Tell me what the cost is. And also, what's the cash price or whatever? Just tell me the price. Oftentimes, you give your insurance card, it costs more. Why? They're supposed to have 1 million members that are going to that hospital at the best discounted prices. Make no sense. So I want the cost data to be shared. And then really probably more importantly is the quality. How many times does Dr. Salmon do hip replacement? Oh, he does it 2 times a year. It's 150 grand with Mike, but Steve does 70 a year and it's $30,000 a year with Steve. That's important. Guys, you people are running around. I mean, I encourage you to get the book called Unaccountable by Dr. Marty McCary. There's a series on TV called The Resident. There's a takeoff on the book, and they show several nuggets during the TV show. Of course, they throw sex and drama in it because it makes good TV, mm-hmm. they say. So, you know, they do all that. But it's the only industry. I mean, what's more important, a car, a suit? You can't find nothing about these people. And my father's a physician in Macon, Georgia, retired January 15, 40 years as an OBGYN. You can find nothing on these people. So let us show us what the cost and then give us the quality information. That's what we need. And that's a simple start.
Yeah. Well, the passion is definitely there. We can hear that. And much like what you do, Stephen, in the financial industry, it's not just a job. It's a mission.
It is. And it revolves around education. It revolves around trying to do what's best for the client. Love the description of being an advisor. That was fantastic.
Carl, for those that would like to find out more about the services you offer, the consulting and so forth, Mitigate Partners and Benefit Strategies, give us some websites and where people can find more information.
Sure. If anyone out there wants to email me, I mean, who likes to email? Who's not tired of email? Let's make it simple. You can call me at 404-941-5519. Or you can go to our website, www.mitigatepartners.com.
Great. Carl, thank you for joining us.
Appreciate it.
And we definitely, Stephen, could have a 3-hour show with Amen. Carl, because, I mean, you're just touching the skim of the surface, and I got so many questions, but we'll have to have him come back another time.
Unfortunately, when people call Carl, they'll probably have to get him a little, you know, work on getting him excited, work on really trying to get some information out of him. That'll be hard.
Well, I'm just crushed because I thought we were going to spend the whole day together, but anyway. Yeah.
Did we not have any decaf coffee this morning? We just had the regular, apparently.
Carl, thank you very much.
Right, thank you, guys.
Carl brought up a topic that is frustrating to a lot of people, which is healthcare and health insurance. And another thing, for small business owners that listen to our show, you might be frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business. Well, we want to encourage you to reach out and get to know Proactive Payroll, because they rock payroll and they provide relief. They handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. They handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. They don't just process payrolls, they build relationships. You know, it's funny, we get these business leaders on our show, and you can always tell the ones that really want to help people, like Carl. We just interviewed him. Well, Tom and his team at Proactive Payroll, one of the things Tom says is when you call our number, someone will actually pick up the phone. Someone who actually knows how to help you with your problem. Someone who knows taxes and payrolls and all the things they're supposed to do. They don't just... They everyone that answers the phone has a lot of experience that can help you. So make sure you contact Proactive Payroll. Go to proactivepayroll.rocks, or you know what? You can call 404-410-0031 and someone will pick up the phone.
And that's why we use them.
Exactly.
Our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio is Susan Boland Butts and Keith Fenton with the High Hope Service Center. Susan is the CEO and Keith is the Chief Development Officer. These are friends of the show. Great to have you guys back here. Susan, let's recap for those that are not familiar with the High Hope Service Center, what your organization does.
Sure. Mike, thanks so much for having us back. It's great to be here. You all have been great partners with High Hope over the years, and we're delighted to be here. So High Hope Service Center is an organization that is committed to supporting adults with developmental disabilities. We provide long-term supportive services that empower adults to both define and live a meaningful life. And that define piece is important. We want them to have the same choices the rest of us have. And so that means that they get to choose where they live, who they live with, how they spend their day, where they work, if they want to work, all of those same choices that we have. That's what we want to provide for them and to support them in getting. So our vision is essentially that people with intellectual and developmental disabilities are sort of naturally included in our communities and seen as essential contributors to our very vibrant community here in Gwinnett. And so we want that to happen very naturally and not to be an sort of an unnatural occurrence. We were started all the way back in 1960 by concerned parents here in Gwinnett County, who at the time were looking for a viable educational alternative for their children. At the time, the alternatives that were available to them were essentially institutionalization or simply to be kept at home and out of the life of the community. And so they began a school. And so High Hope started as a school in 1960 and continued in that with that particular service until federal legislation in the middle 70s mandated that all children be served in the public school system. And at that time, we began transitioning to supporting adults. And so once somebody has come out of the school system around age 22, we support them for their entire life. We have people that we're serving right now who have just come out of the school system. We have people we're serving right now who are in their mid-70s. And so across that entire lifespan.
It's absolutely a wonderful organization, and I've had the pleasure of being there and being involved with a couple of your events over the years as well. So it's a great cause, a great organization that does good work. And I want to ask this question to both of you, kind of like Carl in the passion that we heard with Carl. Typically, there's a passion there. There's a story. What drew you to the High Hope Center? How did you get involved? What is it that touches you or touches your heart that makes you do the work that you do every day?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great question. My initial involvement with persons with intellectual and developmental disabilities goes all the way back to 1987. I was a first-year graduate student at Emory, and I was assigned as a seminary student, a theology student, to go and be a chaplain at one of Georgia's institutions for individuals with developmental disabilities. Those institutions are now gone, thank goodness, but I was able to see how people lived in an institution. And so many years later, and I've been at High Hope now 10 years, I had the opportunity to come back when our communities have shifted how we support adults with developmental disabilities and give them opportunities to be a part of their community. And so I have that sort of in my background and recognize that this is the way we used to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I know what that was like, and I appreciate and value so much what we are offering people now as a result of that.
Keith, where does your passion come from?
Well, and for me, I've worked in the nonprofit sector, I think going on my 28th year. And about 8 years ago, I was approached to start really establish a development program for a nonprofit here in Gwinnett County that served this population. And day one, I was all about the people that we're serving. And for me, I've worked with American Cancer Society, the ALS Association. And then I'm raising money for research mainly for those organizations. And you don't see the immediate impact of those funds that you're raising. Today, though, I can see every day that every dollar I raise, the impact that it's having on the lives in which we serve. So I have very special friends there at High Hope. It's just an amazing place to be.
Keith, let me follow up with a question for you as the Chief Development Officer at High Hope. Development always, first thing most people think of is raising money, and that is incredibly important. I wonder if you could also touch on maybe other ways that development might be possible, and especially in terms of small business owners here in Gwinnett County. Is there opportunities to be involved physically on the campus, you know, sponsoring events? Talk a little bit about all the different ways that development happens for High Hope.
Absolutely. When you talk about development, you're actually talking about relationship building, marketing your organization, telling the story of the organization, the impact that we're having. Small businesses can be involved with High Hope, whether that's hiring one of our clients, one of our individuals to work in their place of business. They can also become involved in volunteering, making a daily impact or a monthly impact. Last week, we had Publix come out. They brought 30 managers from their locations throughout Metro Atlanta and did a campus improvement project and really transformed our campus. It was amazing what they did. But becoming involved as a volunteer is always perfect. We have committees. We have business advisory group. If you have an expertise, we want to hear from it. We don't have all the answers, but there are experts out there in the community that really want to have an impact on an organization. And if you want to have an impact, come to High Hope.
Susan, you talked about the level of need in the community, you know, why your net necessary. There's no question about that. You touched upon it in your earlier answer. What about some initiatives that maybe you are planning for the future to help serve your residents and the individuals that you touch?
Yeah, so thanks for asking about that. We take a really intentional approach to strategic planning at High Hope, and we've just completed an update to our strategic plan, and we've got some really exciting things that we are going to be doing in the future. I didn't mention earlier, but our three kind of primary supports that we offer are a weekday supports, which is intended to help people be in their communities, to learn skills they need to be more independent, and to have opportunities for socialization. So that's one thing that we're currently doing. We also have a residential program, which is five group homes that are sort of nestled in neighborhoods throughout Gwinnett. And then the third thing, of course, is our employment program. So those are the three things we're currently doing, but we have plans to grow those things. We are going to be adding a group home over the next couple of years. So we'll have six group homes. In employment, we are this very summer, we are going to be adding a summer camp experience for students who are between the ages of 18 and 21. And that summer camp experience is focused on job readiness. So these are students that are looking at transitioning from Gwinnett County Public Schools into adult life. And we want to get them prepared for the world of work. And so we're going to be doing that this summer. We've never done that before. We've got a lot of families really excited. We are going to begin offering supports to people in their own homes. So a number of the people we support actually live with their families. And so as those family members age who are providing that care and support, they need somebody to come in the evenings and on the weekends to assist with all kinds of activities of daily living. And so we are going to begin providing that. We're also looking to add what we're calling a companion care service, which will be offered to families who need an evening off or a weekend off, and so that they can go and you know, a couple can have a date night, or the family, you know, the couple can go away for the weekend or
just recharge.
Yeah. Exactly. Because these are, when you think about raising children, most of us assume that when they get to be a certain age, that they will be self-sufficient. That is our hope. But with these individuals, most of the time, that is not the case. And so you have families who are over the very long term having to provide care, and we want to provide some relief to them. And so those are some of the things we've got on the horizon that we are really excited about.
Mike, what I love about what we do here at Gwinnett Business Radio is we've been doing the show for a little while, and we always try to make the shows timeless. When Susan was on before, I'm probably going to go back and try and find that show and listen, because I'm sure there was a similar question of what you were looking to do and to see those plans come to fruition now. And as people listen to this a few years in the future and search the show, it'll be neat to see how the plans come together. So we always try to make the interviews timeless. But Keith, I'm going to turn to you because you've got something kind of unique and special to talk about, which is coming up very soon. So we always try to make the interviews like last for a while, but this is an actual event and it's not necessarily something that always happens every year. This is kind of a really unique, special event that you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's our very first one that we've been out there. I did this event 20 years ago with the former governor of Georgia.
So this event is so good, you can only do it every 20 years.
I know, right? We're setting the bar very high, and people are asking me, how are you going to follow up this
event? And this event is going to be so good that every year after this, you're going to attempt to try and do it as well, and you'll probably fail. So you've got to come to this, and you'll get close. Jeez,
failure is not an option.
Well, failure will still be great.
The next one will be in 30 years. This one will be so good, it'll be 30 years.
And this event is so good that Carl actually wants to make a comment on it, so...
Well, then I get to see Keith again. It'll be another 20 years.
Oh, right. That'll be the celebration 20 years from now. So something amazing happens every 20 years. You two guys reconnect, and you have this amazing event. So talk a little bit about it.
So it's a first-time event. It's called Gwinnett's Finest, a Roast and Toast. And we are honoring the Gwinnett County Commission Chair, Charlotte Nash, and the president of the George Gwinnett Chamber, Dr. Dan Kaufman. It's going to be a fun evening of laughter, a lot of tall tales, a lot of their colleagues and people that they've grown up with are being part of this event. It's amazing who has come up and said, we want to roast Charlotte and Dan.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Trust me, there's not one current employee of either one of them on the board here. But we do have some really impressive people. Wayne Hill is one of our roasters.
Nice.
So, you know, Wayne Hill's history. Richard Tucker, Bill Russell, a number of Jay Denard from Gwinnett Medical Center is going to be our MC.
Yeah, folks involved in the Gwinnett business community know these names.
Absolutely.
They do know the names.
And what's funny is, obviously, I'm guessing this event will probably not be broadcast so that the roasting can even be, you know, top notch and even higher notch.
We are videotaping.
Oh,
we are.
There will be a record of this.
Yes. And you'll be selling them for $100. If you can't make it, you can watch Charlotte Dan get roasted.
Yeah. It's going to be a cross of the old Dean Martin roast of the 70s and kind of This Is Your Life.
Right.
You know, these two individuals have really made an impact on Gwinnett County over the course of years.
Yeah.
For years, they've been really improving the quality of life for the people who live in our community. And so we're honoring them. This is our way of honoring them, but also poking a little fun at them.
Good natured. So the event, give everybody the details of exactly when the event is. I'm assuming tickets are available now.
Tickets are available now. June 9th is the event. It's going to be held at the station at Tannery Row, which is in Beaufort. Tables are $600 for a table of eight, and individual tickets are $75. This is an important event, although we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's a really great opportunity for us to tell our story to a room full of potential, hopefully 400 people will be in attendance. But it also raises significant dollars for us to all the things that Susan has mentioned that we're going to be doing, that takes dollars. And as an organization with a $5.1 million operating budget, we're dependent upon the philanthropic support of the community. And this is one of our avenues for raising those dollars.
So a great opportunity to make some business connections, a great opportunity to hear some great stories, a great opportunity to hear the story of High Hope,
right?
And a great opportunity to say thank you and also to have a little bit of fun at the expense of two very important people in the Gwinnett community.
That's right.
Charlotte and Dan. So that's fantastic. Now, you mentioned you did this 20 years ago. I really seized on that and I roasted you a little for that.
Right.
But so that would be back in 1998. Would this be, and you said you did it for the governor. Would that have been?
We did it for the, he wasn't governor yet. Roy Barnes.
Nice.
For the American Cancer Society. Way back in the day.
And it went so well, you waited 20 more years before you decided to pull it out again.
How can I bring it back?
He's been wanting to. And he waited till he had two good candidates to do this with.
That's right.
And so.
And how can you top those two candidates?
Well, you're going to have to find out next year, apparently.
That's right.
Or in 3 years or five. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But the good news is you kind of set that bar of every 20 years. So if you do it anytime else.
I'm hoping to do it next year.
Those that may be listening to this podcast after June 9th, just go to the website or call the High Hope Center. There's a good chance there'll be another one coming up.
And bootleg MP3 and video files are available after the event, you know,
for, right.
for a nominal fee that will go to a good cause, which is High Hope.
More than likely will be edited a little bit.
Absolutely.
But it'll still be available.
You can't miss the live event. If there's any way you can get to June 9th, it'll be worth it.
Right.
You talk about the tickets and the tables that are available. In addition to that, for business owners out there, are there ways to get their name involved with this event?
Absolutely. There's sponsorship opportunities.
For better or worse, to have your name involved with this event.
Well, we've done a unique thing this year is we've really packaged what we offer to our corporate partners. So when you become a sponsor of High Hope, you become a sponsor of all of our existing events. Our gala we're bringing back in the fall, which, you know, High Hope had the best gala there was in the region for many, many, many years. And then when the market fell out, we decided not to do it any longer. But we're bringing it back. And so there's lots of opportunities for companies to become involved with us. Lots of return on investment. You know, I like to tell people that a $10,000 gift to some organizations is really a drop in the bucket. But a $10,000 sponsorship or a $5,000 sponsorship is a transformative gift for High Hope. We can do so much with those gifts. If you want to make an impact from a business perspective on your community, choose High Hope.
All right, Keith, give the details again, the date, time, location, where people can get tickets or find out more about sponsorship information.
Sure. The event is June 9th. It's going to be held at the station at Tannery Row, which is in Buford. The event starts at 5:30 in the afternoon. Full dinner buffet, open bar, which is always a good thing. For tickets, you just simply call us at High Hope or visit our website at highhopecenter.org.
Highhopecenter.org. Susan, before we go, when Keith came to you with this idea about roasting some of the more influential leaders that are here in Gwinnett County, what were your initial thoughts?
She went, heck yeah. I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. Sorry, Susan.
Oh, what were my initial thoughts? I thought it
she
was...
She said, dadgum.
Yeah, I thought it was an amazing idea. I questioned whether or not we could get the commitment of these two people. And just want to say, Keith and I went together to meet with both of them. We met with them separately, but both of them just immediately, without reservation, said yes, that they wanted to be a part of this. And I just think that speaks to the kind of leaders they are, the kind of commitment they have to our community. And so I'm just could not be excited. Keith didn't mention this, but we've also gotten this event to be considered as one of the bicentennial events for Gwinnett in this year. And so it's going to have that moniker as well. So we just couldn't be more excited. So
I'm sensing a joke about Dan and bicentennial, but you know, I guess I have to get my sponsorship dollars together. I wonder if I could sponsor a roasting comment. You know, I wouldn't be able to be on the stage to roast it, but like a business.
If
could
you're
sponsor.
Willing to write the check, I'm sure they'll come up.
They'll
with
figure out a way to get that in.
I can only imagine being a roaster at this event. I mean, this is going to be a wonderful event. So we hope a lot of our listeners will take advantage and attend this or sponsor it, be a part of this. But knowing the two people that are being roasted, they're such good people that, yeah, you want to make fun of them and have some fun, but boy, it'd be kind of difficult because they are good people that do a lot for our community. But this sounds like a wonderful event. And I know this is going to be hugely successful. So it's not going to be another 20 years before Keith pulls us, you know, out of the closet. It's going to happen, I'm sure, as you said, hopefully every year.
Right.
Well, so the problem, Mike, is next year, if he has you be the subject of the roasting or you and me together, you know, as the co-host.
There's
the show,
not a room big there, enough in Gwinnett to take care of all
22 people that
want
show
to see
up,
that,
you know, and we would have to pay them to show up. So we'd sponsor our own event. That would be the problem.
There you go.
I'm so proud to live in a community where the leaders do so much good work, have helped build business so well, been a good partner to business, and have a good sense of humor and can laugh at themselves a little bit. That's just fantastic.
So the website, not only for that event, for anything with the High Hope Center, and there's so many other great events that they do, that the website is, one last time, Susan?
www.highhopecenter.org.
And the High Hope is H-I, Hope.
Right.
Center.org.
Fantastic.
Susan, Keith, thank you so much. Great
thank
to
you.
See you as always.
Thank you.
All right.
Mike,
yes,
we talked a lot about that event, and we almost made a guarantee that people will love being at that event, so you know where I'm going next, right?
I do.
We broadcast every week from inside the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios because we love Subaru of Gwinnett. And our listeners will love Subaru because love is what makes a Subaru. Get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience at Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. Visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join their family today. Come in and see the difference. Maybe they're already a Subaruist. Then they can follow Subaru of Gwinnett's Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events.
I saw something the other day about Subaru. 10 years after a Subaru is purchased, 90-95% of them are still on the road.
Amen.
It is an amazing vehicle. All right, I want to thank our guests for joining us, Susan and Keith from the High Hope Service Center, and Carl Schussler with Mitigate Partners and Benefit Strategies as well. A wonderful show as usual. A reminder, you can listen to this show anytime you want, 24/7, by going to Gwinnett go to businessradiox.com, then select the Gwinnett Studio, and you'll see the show. You'll not only see this show, but you'll see all the past episodes as well. We ask that you follow us on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. We also have this show and all our shows available on iTunes as well.
You know, Mike, I have a goal for our show. Susan was talking about long-term vision and long-term strategy. I have a goal for our show. Do you know what that is?
I'm afraid to even ask.
Well, there is an Academy of Podcasting, and I would love to win an Academy of Podcasting Award. The problem is, and actually it's wonderful, we are not just a podcast. We stream live on the internet. We stream our show over our website all the time. Carl was listening to the show on the way in. So, you know, maybe we have to come up with our own academy. Maybe our wonderful producer, Trey Keith, can work on that, and we can get a podcasting streaming champion of the year.
Wrong.
No. Oh, okay. Sorry.
We'll just make up our own awards.
And we'll
make
you do every week, and you didn't at the start of the show.
We have real awards.
We do. That's yes. Right.
Don't.
We're the greatest streaming podcast show out there.
All right. And anyway.
And John shows a close second.
And on that, I want to thank all of our listeners as well. I want to thank our producer, Keith, Trey, whatever Trey we Keith, want to call, yeah. Whatever I decide to call him in the morning. Yeah. He will go by that name for now on.
You were on decaf this morning. The rest of us weren't.
Exactly. For Stephen, I'm Mike. We'll see you next time here on Gwinnett Business Radio.